This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses.
Welcome to episode 109. It is Dr. Jimmy. If you haven't taken the time yet to look me up on social, please go do that. You can give me a follow on Facebook or Instagram if you will search my handle, which is at Dr. Jimmy. That's D-R-J-Y-M-E. Or you can type in Dr. Jimmy Equine Nutritionist, and that should get you to my page. This is where we can continue the conversation for each of these episodes. So sometimes I create confusion maybe in the words that I use, or I spark some ideas or questions for people during these episodes. So I encourage you to hop onto one of those channels and post your comments and reactions under the post for the respective episode. I love seeing you guys share my episodes on social media. I love to see you guys tagging your friends and telling them, you know, go check out this episode. This is what we were talking about. It just makes me so happy to know that the content that I'm creating is or was valuable enough for you to make that effort to go share it out on your own personal channels. I don't know about you guys, but something has to be pretty impactful for me to want to repost or share it out on my personal pages. So it really does mean the world to me when I stumble across you guys as my listeners that are actually sharing and suggesting Feed Room Chemist episodes to other horse owners. Also, I have not asked you guys to do this in a very long time, but if you could, go leave me a rating and a review on your podcasting app. It helps other horse owners find this information. Okay, on with the show. So today we shall talk HHA, or horse hair analysis. And the reason that we're going to talk horse hair analysis today is because a brand new study was released this week on the topic. And I think it's important for everyone to hear this information. It seems like I'm noticing, you know, an influx of, let's call them businesses, popping up who are using, you know, horse hair analysis as the basis for wanting to sell you some kind of nutritional product. So for those of you who are not familiar with this concept, I'll explain what it looks like. Let's say Karen is struggling with her horse and she's cruising the internet looking for possible reasons why her horse is either not performing well, maybe not holding body condition, maybe has a dull hair coat or a poor top line, or, you know, you name it, right? There's all kinds of reasons that Karen might think that something is just a little bit off with her horse. Well, in her quest, she stumbles onto someone who says, you know, she can test her horse's hair in order to find out which nutrients are lacking in the diet. And this is an interesting concept. And Karen likes data and she likes hard proof, so she buys into this idea, right? So then she goes to Google and she does a Google search for horse hair analysis, which serves up a little over 44 million possible sites, right? Okay, I tested that. It really is like 44.3 million sites. Okay, so after some poking around, Karen finds this nice little service where someone will have her horse's hair tested and then report back to her with the findings. This sounds great. So Karen clips a little bit of mane hair, sends it off. Then after a short while, Karen receives back the results for her horse, which inevitably reveal, quote, imbalances in the diet. And then of course, it also is going to have this list of recommended products that Karen should purchase in order to correct these nutritional imbalances. Karen then purchases these products, her wallet suffers, and her horse's diet likely remains unbalanced. Can you sense the cynicism in my voice, right? Here's the deal. If you want to know whether or not your horse's diet is balanced, I mean, you could reach out to an actual equine nutritionist for help. I mean, that kind of is what they are trained to do, right? If you want to know your horse's nutritional intake, if you want to know what that consists of, it's easy. You just test the things that they eat, right? Horses are pretty simple. We feed them hay, we feed them grain, we may offer a supplement or two. Lucky for us, the grain and supplement already come with a label that shows us what is being provided. So the only thing left to evaluate is the forage. And a simple $30 forage analysis can be sent off and usually within 10 to 14 days, we have results back. And with that information, an equine nutritionist can easily tell you if your horse is lacking anywhere, okay? But for whatever reason, people believe that there is more value in a lab test of some biological material that has been harvested from their horse, right? Like whether it's blood, hair, urine, muscle biopsy, whatever it is. Like the problem with these things, though, is that they are not fully reflective of the horse's actual diet, okay? So let's say you pull blood on a horse and you look at calcium levels. Well, I can about bet that unless there is some like major medical issue going on, I can about bet that those calcium levels will appear normal regardless of the horse's diet, okay? And the reason for this is that the body adapts to dietary deficiencies, right? So if the horse is not consuming enough calcium, the body will actually borrow calcium from the bones. So the diet is truly lacking calcium, but the lab report is going to say that everything is normal. Okay, back to hair analysis. So hair analysis is useful for determining exposure, right? But it is not useful for determining the nutritional state of a horse, okay? So I'm saying that according to this newly released study, which I will drop a link to in the show notes. The researchers put a group of bay horses on an identical diet. Now, notice I specified they were bay horses. All of them had black manes and tails. Okay, this is important because other research studies have already proven that simply the change in color will cause different results. Meaning if a horse, let's say you have a paint horse that has both white hair and black hair, the lab results will be different even though they are from the exact same horse. Is anyone getting skeptical yet? Okay, so the horses in this study all had black manes. Oh, and they were all geldings. Okay, that's another thing. There have been other studies that show that geldings seem to accumulate levels at different rates compared to mares or to stallions. Okay, so back on track. The researchers used bay geldings with black manes and they were fed an identical diet. Okay. Those horses also lived in the same location for the prior 5 years and they were kept together in the same paddock under the exact same management conditions for 2 months prior to the sampling. Okay. This is important as well because other studies have shown that simple environmental differences can actually skew hair analysis results. So the fact that these horses lived on the same place for the last 5 years and then were brought into super isolated, exact identical management for the 2 month period prior to sampling is very important. The researchers sampled a small section of mane hair from the exact same location on every horse, okay? They even disinfected the stainless steel scissors between each horse in an effort to prevent any kind of cross exposure. Then each horse's hair was split sampled. In other words, the same hair was sent to 3 different laboratories for each horse. And guess what? None of them agreed on the results. In fact, the labs didn't even agree on what the proper reference range should be on horsehair, let alone have consistent results from horse to horse. So for example, selenium was provided in the diet at levels that exceeded the daily requirement, okay? But in the hair analysis results, 2 of the 3 labs reported selenium to be insufficient in all of the horse samples. Okay, this is a dangerous situation because certain minerals like selenium have a really narrow window of deficiency and toxicity. Okay, so in this particular situation, the diet is already being oversupplied in selenium, and then you have these hair analysis results suggesting that you need to add much more to the diet because it's quote deficient. Ay, ay, ay. So why are these labs not agreeing? It's probably up for debate, but I would say for starters, the work has not been done to clearly establish a true reference range for horse hair. Okay. There is nothing out there that says, a horse who consumes 3 milligrams per day of selenium should have X amount of selenium in the hair, right? And it's these reference ranges that, they need the work, right? So even in the study, the reference ranges themselves were different among the labs. So they're not even operating off of the same values of, quote, what they're perceiving as normal, right? So one lab might consider certain values to be within appropriate levels, and another lab would say that that exact same value was either deficient or excessive because it didn't fall within the ranges that they thought were appropriate, okay? So most likely these labs, you know, they're probably setting their own reference ranges based on, you know, the averages of all samples that they've ever received, okay? The tough thing with that is what are they putting in that pool, right? Is it all human hair, cattle hair, horse hair? You know, I mean, I don't know what all types of hair that these labs receive, but I mean, I can't imagine that they are receiving so much horse hair that they could have a really good, true sampling on horses. And maybe some of them out there do. If anybody works for one of these labs and has extra information, you know, or questions even that they could shed on this topic, you know, maybe direction for future research, because, you know, I think this is important. I think if we're going to try to use horsehair as a diagnostic tool, we need to make sure that we're using reliable reference ranges. Okay. So the point here is a lab's reference ranges are not indicative of what levels are actually being consumed by the horse through the diet. Okay. So I hope this is making sense. Bottom line, hair analysis can be really useful to help, you know, it alerts us to exposure, right? So it can tell us that, you know, a horse was administered a certain pharmaceutical drug. It can show us that, you know, a horse has been exposed to certain heavy metals. It can tell us that, yes, the horse has consumed minerals, right? But horse hair analysis cannot tell us whether a horse's diet is nutritionally balanced, okay? On that note, a blood analysis also cannot tell us whether a horse's diet is nutritionally balanced, okay? So both blood and horsehair, they are super helpful, I'm gonna call them secondary tools, right? So if we're talking about the diet, those two things can be used as secondary components if you're on this hunt for something very specific, right? But I repeat, they are not a useful tool to balance the daily diet, okay? So to wrap this up, if you find yourself in Karen's shoes and you are questioning whether or not your horse's diet is properly balanced, find yourself an equine nutritionist who understands how to interpret forage analysis and how to read labels, okay? It's really very simple. Horses only eat what we give them, and we have full control over what their daily intake is, okay? We don't need blood or hair analysis to tell us this information, right? So again, if you are just concerned about trying to make sure that the horse's daily diet is balanced, horse hair analysis is not going to provide accurate information. Okay. Now, I will be sure to leave some links in the show notes that you will find helpful, including the study that I referenced, along with a couple other horse hair analysis studies. And I think there might even be a study I can leave in there that is on other livestock. So I'll dump all that in the show notes. And if anybody wants to go, you know, read those studies and dig into this a little bit deeper, have at it. I will also have a post on my social media pages where you guys can comment and share away. So thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.